to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For if we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Hello, good morning, church family. Those of you who are able, would you mind kneeling with me in prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we would like to come before you in an attitude of thanks. We are thankful for the sunshine. We are thankful for this time of year that lends itself to new experiences in our community and in our nation. Students are going back to school, or it's about that time, and we ask you to bless each and every one of them, bless each and every teacher that is involved in that. Here at RVAA, I know that we love and adore our students, and above all, we want them to learn to love and adore you as well, God. So please watch over them, bless them, and just be with them. We also come before you with asks, with requests, whether that be for health, for financial assistance, for stability. You know what those are, and we ask you to please be with them, be with those situations. You are a wonderful God, who we love and who we praise, and we thank you once again for this Sabbath day where we can come together and just focus on you. In your wonderful name, I pray, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. It feels like it's been a marathon to get up here. This is good. There we go. We're excited to be here. We're excited to be here because anytime we can come together and pray for a specific purpose, I think it actually changes the outcome of things. I really do. There's something about when a group comes together to pray for something, it changes the physical outcome of things. And today, I am grateful to you for inviting us to come here to dedicate the staff, but it's not about the staff. It's all about the students. And we want God to be surrounding our campus, surrounding all of us as we work with those kids, because we have one goal, that's students in heaven. That's students in heaven. So I'd love to start with prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear God, again, we just we're so thankful. Thank you for Sabbath rest. We need these rests. We thank you for being a God of action. We thank you for being a God that always has our backs. And this morning, I thank you for this church, and we especially ask for each one of the students at Rogue Valley Adventist Academy. Those are your students, God. You have huge plans for their lives. And so we want to pray for them. And we ask that you just bless us as we get to spend some time here together. Thank you for being an amazing God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read that scripture one more time, and it's Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. It says, God saved you by his special favor when you believed. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. To me, that verse is like glasses. If you can't see very well, and then you put on glasses and everything becomes a little bit more clear. To me, those verses help me as I read through the rest of the Bible, as I interact with people, because sometimes we say, "Ooh, I'm glad I'm not that person. Or I would never do something like that. Ooh, thank God. It's just a gift. We believe in God. That's it. That's all we have. This isn't an us versus them. We have a gift." And I remember growing up, I'd get a gift, and my sister was bigger than I was, and 4 years older than I was, and if she liked that gift, sometimes I would be forced to give her that gift when nobody was looking, right? When people were around, I got to keep it. But I didn't want to give her that gift because it was mine, and I only had one. This gift's not that way. This gift, it's for everyone. We can keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving. It doesn't matter at all. School started last Monday. It was crazy, crazy exciting. We had our staff there the week before. We were getting geared up for it. But it's all about that time when those students come back. One of the things that our high school has done is every morning they start the day joining at the flagpole for prayer. That's how we start every day for the high school, praying for the school, praying for things that are going on, our team of high school students, leading by example. That's the plan. That's the plan. We're trying to do some things that help thrust our students into leadership positions. In fact, when we did chapel yesterday, we split it with the high school and then the K-8, and we did it specifically outside because we wanted our high school students to be playing some fun music and singing those songs and for all of our other students to hear that in their room. And maybe the teacher's like, "But I'm trying." But the goal is this. We want those students to say, "I can't wait till I'm in high school. I want to sing those songs. I want to lead out on the praise team. That's what I want. I can't wait to be a leader for this school." And they don't have to wait. They can be a leader at any age. I know Oliver, at the end of chapel, he said, "Hey, can I have the microphone?" I said, "What are you going to say?" And when he told me, I said, "Sure, buddy." And it was basically just, "I'm so happy we're all back. I'm so glad that you're all here. I'm glad for the school year," something like that. Oliver, what a guy. He's a leader. He's a leader already. First grade, leading the charge. It's perfect. It's perfect. I want to do this, though. I want to ask you, and I think many of you are already doing this, but every morning when you wake up, if you could just say a prayer for that school. That's the plan. If we have an army of people praying for the school, I mentioned last time I was here, we want to fill heaven with those students, but before we get to heaven, we want to have an army of youth in this community, an army of youth connected with Jesus in this community, changing the whole community. We call that, I think sometimes we call that a spiritual revival, right? We want a spiritual revival. I was actually calling some schools, some other principals that I've known before that said, on my campus, like 8 years ago, there was a spiritual revival. And so we said, how does that happen? We want that. In fact, at chapel yesterday, we did a little demonstration where we took a apple juice jug and we cut a hole in it and we said that's the school. And then we put some calcium carbide in it and we said, that's the students, because calcium carbide is pretty cool. Kids are really cool. So we put that inside of there. And then we said, we also have some teachers, and so we put some water in that. And I don't know if you know anything about calcium carbide, but when you add water, it gets a little explosive. It doesn't. Actually, the gas does. And so then we said, okay, we got our school, we got our students, we got our teachers and staff. And then we said, we're missing the Holy Spirit. We put a cup on top of it and lit the Holy Spirit. He's the fire. And we reached out like this and put it in there. And boom, spiritual revival. And that's what we want them to know. It's going to take students, it's going to take staff, but what's really going to set it off, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to be the game changer. And so our prayers combined are what caused that to happen. And so we need a team of people making sure that those things happen. That's our plan. We want this whole campus to feel different when people drive on. What if there's a sports game from a public school that drives in here, and as soon as they turn onto this road, they say, doggone, something feels different. Something feels different. Like, yup, that's right. It's because we pray for this area. It's a different place here. It's filled with the Spirit. I want to read you something that we read as a staff on the very first day when we all got back for kind of pre-session where the staff get to hang out and the principal gets to talk a lot. It's really not fun for any of us, but we do it every year anyways. And it goes like this. Born to Fly. This is a spiritual book, or like a devotional book that my family and I read a couple years ago each morning. And this one says, Born to Fly. Have you ever seen eagles teaching their babies to fly? Oh dear, poor eagle babies. Imagine one minute you're all cozy in this warm, lovely nest, and the next you're being pushed out by your own parents. But the parents know what they're doing. As the babies plummet, they flap their wings in a panic and grow stronger. The parents catch them on their wings and lift them back up over and over until at last the baby learns to do what it was born to do, fly. And the Bible says you are meant to fly as well, to soar in God's love, trusting him, loving him. You are born to fly. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. And we could end that chapel by saying, each teacher now go out and start shoving children out of nests. Let them plummet to the ground, and hopefully they'll learn to fly. But if they don't, at the very last second, when they're completely terrified, swoop down and save them and do it over again. Except for one problem. Eagles don't push their babies out of their nest. And eagles actually don't swoop down and catch them. Because in fact, if the baby were to hit the mom, like if the mom's going to swoop under and they're going to catch like this, it's going to kill both of them. And then there's people that said, well, the mom swoops down and grabs them with their talons. If you've ever gone to those places where, like, they show you the birds, they have big, thick leather pads on because they don't know how to do anything but kill with those. That's their plan. Grab fish, squeeze fish, bring fish up, eat fish. It's not like, oh, let me just do a medium massage for a little bit. They don't have that kind of, they don't have that ability. And so I love that devotional, but perhaps the real way that mom parents, mom birds and dad birds with eagles train their kids is a little bit better. Because what they actually do is when they think that their babies are ready to learn to fly, they'll catch some food and land a ways away from them, like 10 feet away from them. The baby will be like, oh, it's not a baby anymore. It's pretty much full grown. It hasn't flown yet. And the baby's saying, the young adult is saying, I'm super hungry. Bring me the fish. And the parent is just like over here like, come and get it. And he's like, no, you bring it to me. That's the order that we've had for a year. And the mom says, no, I believe in you. Come and get it. And other times, the mom will bring the fish, and it's almost like a hummingbird. They fly over top of them, like maybe 10 feet above, and they can flap their wings and not really move forward or backwards. And then in the video, there's like a BBC hour and 30-minute documentary that's horrifically boring, that the babies then get up and they start flapping their wings kind of too. And sometimes they'll get like this much air and they'll kind of go back into their nest like, whoa, what just happened? And then they'll do it over and over and over and over and over. And big picture, the parents motivate them to want to fly. The parents motivate them to want to desire, to put all their heart into learning to fly. If you think of that versus shoving them out of their nest, terrified, and then possibly, hopefully, catching them at the last possible second, which one do you want us as a staff to be more like? Which one is God more like? Perhaps we serve a God who kind of instilled in us a heart because we were made in his own image. But not only that, he does things in the world that cause us to desire to be more like him. In fact, the Holy Spirit, I think, is a big part of that. When you do something nice, sometimes we get those feelings. We call them warm, fuzzy feelings. I think those are called Holy Spirit feelings. I think it's that feeling like, I think I was just used by God. And I want that feeling forever. I never want that to go away. We will get that feeling forever, but we get snapshots of it here on earth. Every time we let students help other students, I think they get a snapshot of that Holy Spirit feeling. And the more they feel that, the more they want that. And that's awesome. And we're crazy blessed to have a K-12. There aren't very many K-12s around. This is a big deal. We have the opportunity to have our high schools be incredible mentors for our middle school, and our middle school to be incredible mentors for our elementary school. It will reverse that too. Our kindergartners will be great leaders for our high school at times. But it's one of those things that I actually think God has tasked us to do well. There are things where he says, here it is, I'm calling you to serve here, but I expect big things. I'll support it 100%, but I expect big things. That's where we need your prayers. That's where we appreciate so much with a way beyond human appreciation for dedications, because the task is impossible, and that's what God's all about. He loves impossible. He's so happy for us to do impossible. There's a book called, the big thing that happens here is that shoving people out of the nest gives you a lot of control. As humans, we like to have some control over what's going on. We know now you're going to make that move. But when you're over here just trying to motivate them to want to do it, it's a little messier. It's a little messier because some are going to choose in the first day. Some are going to choose in the first month. Some are going to choose when they're 30. Right? And then that's real. That's real. That's where the prayer part comes in. That's where the messy part comes in. That's where the patience part comes in. And we know that we have a God of love. And in fact, in Colossians 13, 4-7, in 1 Corinthians, 13, 4-7, it says, if I could speak any language, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. When the Bible says God is love, that's great. That's great news. It's also why we don't get shoved out of nests, because he has patience, he has endurance, and he never gives up. And if we're made in his image, we better try to wrap ourselves around that as well. Love, patient, never give up, enduring love for these students. When they say, I'm sick of you always telling me I can do it, like, good. I'm so glad. You're going to keep on hearing it, but I'm glad I've said it so much that it's just in your brain like that. We will never give up on them because God will never give up on them. That's huge. It's absolutely huge. There's a book called The Tipping Point, and The Tipping Point, this is for my edification. Raise your hand if you've read the book The Tipping Point. Oh, nuts. We only have one. It's okay. I have read most of The Tipping Point. And it goes something like this. I just want to make sure if you're like, hey, that's not how it goes, but he can talk to me on Monday if I mess up. The tipping point is about a couple things. So a couple of the main takeaways that I got out of it was a few amount of people or a few small things can make a profound impact. On top of that, sometimes things look like they're not doing anything until they do a lot, right? We think of like, okay, I got to get from there to there. I'm going to take a step. Now I got to take another step. Now I got to take another step. But in life, things don't work that linearly, right? Got our math teacher over there, linearly. They can be exponential, or they can even kind of make some jumps. And so in fact, especially when we're talking about things like the Holy Spirit or a spiritual revival, or a whole school falling in love and being active for Jesus, it's not just a step-by-step thing. It can happen really quick. And we can pray and pray and pray and say, what is happening? But then all of a sudden, something game changer happens. That's why I want to ask of all of us to keep on praying, even if we say, boy, it doesn't seem to be doing what I think it should be doing. Maybe it's not about what we think it should be doing anyways, but maybe it just is about to happen. And so for the tipping point, we have those sorts of things. It's actually where the 80-20 rule comes from. It's the 80-20 rule, and in Adventism, it's actually like the 99-1 rule. In his, it's 80% of the things get done by 20% of the people. In Adventism, it's 99% of the things get done by 1% of the people. You may know that. And maybe it's not quite that much, but it's kind of where that rule is got most famous, where a few amount of people do a profound amount of changing. There we go. That's our army of students. Our 136 students changing an entire community. That's the plan. Tipping point. We want the tipping point on our campus and then our campus to tip the community. That would be huge. That would be huge. And the other thing that's so exciting is that we don't just work on it for here. It would be great when we get to heaven and God says, remember 2022-2023 school year? That was awesome. Do you remember how we all worked together to do something impossible? That was awesome. Man, if that doesn't motivate you to have unlimited energy and prayers and support, I don't know what on earth possibly could. I want to just end with this, and it's John 15, 1 through 17. You know this stuff, and so it's good, but as we tie them all together, if they're getting tied together, John 15, 1 through 17, it's the vine and the branches. You guys know these things, but these are the things that we want to keep in our heads because I think it's an active thing. It isn't like, I already know that. I did that like 5 years ago. We're good. We're good. It's an everyday thing. This is Jesus talking, John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot produce fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Not yet. He's not given up. We still have time to keep on watering those branches and bringing them back. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. There's our faith. We can ask for a spiritual revival, and it will happen. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other and in the same way that I have loved you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Oh, beautiful. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. I command you, love each other. It's verses like these that provide the spark that will hopefully turn into a flame that changes the world. Our only goal in our scripture and in this is just to believe in Jesus and hold on to him. Everything else happens naturally, supernaturally. I don't know what word you want to put there, but it isn't about us being awesome. It is about us. It's all about Jesus. And we know that heaven is what it's all about, but we also know that every day we're not connected to Jesus here on earth stinks. It really does. The stuff that makes us happy here, if Jesus isn't a part of it, it's so stinking temporary. It's so fleeting. We want our students to not get so bogged down in that. Because the sooner they connect with Jesus, the sooner they can have that peace that passeth understanding. And that's game changer. And then people are going to look at them and say, "What's wrong with you? When I see you, you look different. You never seem to have all that extra stress. Are you stressed? Yes, I have a math test. Are you stressed? Yes, I have this. Yes, we still have stress, but not that big kind of shoulder slouching, the whole weight of the world is on me." They're going to say, "What's different about you?" And they're going to say, "Let me tell you about my best friend. His name's Jesus. And he's got a gift. It's an easier gift. It's a release of all the stresses that the rest of us have." That's the mission. And I think as we've read through this, we can ask for that. Especially if this whole church, if our whole community is asking for that, we can ask for anything in Jesus' name, and it will be given. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Thank you for being a part of this team. Thank you for this Sabbath where we come hang out. Thank you for letting us test out brass. That was pretty exciting. Thank you for letting us sing some songs. We want to continue to stay connected in all sorts of different ways. I am very serious when I say we want students preaching in church. We want them doing all sorts of leadership things, but we're ready to hear from them. They have things to say. Their perspectives may and possibly will be slightly different than ours. That's okay. That's okay. Let's hear from them. Let's connect them to the Bible. Let's connect them to Jesus, and let's let them have that experience. That's the plan. And so if you're okay, let's pray for that. Every morning when you wake up, pray, "God, your plan, RVAA, it's your school, your students. Blanket it in your spirit." That's going to be the game changer. And a year from now, we can have teacher dedication and say, "Remember last year when God did this. Keep it going. Let's keep it going. We're gonna pray that in faith because God already has those plans. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for so many things that you do. We can look backwards and we can see your hand moving powerfully. But right now, especially this Sabbath morning, I want to look forward. And I just want to lift up that school and your plans for it this year. Lift up this church and your plans for the church this year. And we know that your plans have everybody all wrapped together as one team, one body, one family. And so we are excited to hear from you. We're excited to see you move. And anything we can do, we ask that you let us know, that you lead powerfully. And we lift up each one of those students, the ones that are praying, the ones that are here in church, and then the ones that aren't even praying. We want to pray on their behalf. We want to intercede for them. Knock on their hearts. Let them know that you're never giving up and wrap your arms around them. We thank you for Sabbath. We thank you for rest. And we thank you in advance for the amazing things that you are going to do here on this campus. We give all of that to you, Lord, and we thank you for all you do for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.